Leo and Tullia were on their way to the refectory kitchen, where it was their turn to prepare dinner. Leo, having heard the last few lines, chimed in,
"You could claim that shooting stars were dragon farts that had been lit on fire."
"Very good," said Orlo.
"Then whenever a slime looked up and saw a shooting star, he'd think it was corroboration for the pink dragon myth."
"And he could refute Jessery," Leo said, "by saying, 'You idiot, what do striped fire-belching turtles have to do with shooting stars?'"
Everyone laughed again.
"This is straight from the later writings of Saint Evanedric," Archibald said.
Everyone got quiet. We had thought we were just being playful, until now.
"Fra Archibald is jumping ahead," Orlo said, in a tone of mild protest.
"Evanedric was a Theor," Jessery pointed out. "This isn't the kind of stuff he would have written about."
"On the contrary,"
Archibald said, squaring off.
"Later in his life, after the reconstitution, he—"
"If you don't mind," Orlo said.
"Of course not," said Archibald.
"Restricting ourselves to nerve-gas-farting dragons, how many colors do you think we could distinguish?"
Opinions varied between 8 and 100. Tullia thought she could distinguish more, Leo fewer.
"Well, say 10, Orlo said. "Now let us allow for striped dragons with alternating colors."
"Then there would be 100 combinations," I said.
90,
Jessery corrected me. "You can't count red, red, and so on."
"Allowing for different stripe widths, could we get it up to 1,000 distinguishable combinations?" Orlo asked.
There was general agreement that we could.
"Now move on to spots, plaids, combinations of spots, plaids, and stripes."
"Hundreds of thousands, millions," different people were guessing.
"And we are only considering nerve-gas-farting dragons so far,"
Orlo reminded us.
"What of lizards, turtles, gods?"
"Hey," Jessery exclaimed, and shot a glance at Archibald.
"This is becoming the kind of argument that a Theor would make."
"How so, Fra Jessery? Where is the theorical content?"
"In the numbers," Jessery said. "In the profusion of different scenarios."
"Please explain."
"Once you have opened the door to these hypotheticals that don't have to make internal sense, you quickly find yourself looking at a range of possibilities that might as well be infinitely numerous," Jessery said. "So the mind rejects them as being equally invalid and doesn't worry about them."
"And this is true of slimes as well as of Saint Evanedric?" Archibald asked.
"It has to be," Jessery said.
"So it is an intrinsic feature of human consciousness, this filtering ability."
As Archibald grew more confident, Jessery, sensing he was being drawn into a trap, became more cautious.
"Filtering ability?" he asked.
"Don't play stupid, Jessery,"
called Sur Ayla, who was also reporting for kitchen duty.
"You just said yourself that the mind rejects and doesn't worry about the overwhelming majority of hypothetical scenarios. If that's not a filtering ability, I don't know what is."
"Sorry,"
Jessery snapped back, and looked around at me, Leo, and Archibald, as if he had just been mugged and needed witnesses.
"What then is the criterion that the mind uses to select an infinitesimal minority of possible outcomes to worry about?" Orlo asked.
"Plausibility? Possibility?" People were murmuring, but no one seemed to feel confident enough to stake a claim.
"Earlier, Fra Erasmus mentioned that it had something to do with being able to tell a coherent story."
"It is a hem space, a configuration space argument," I blurted, before I'd even thought about it. "That's the connection to Evanedric the Theor."
"Can you please explain?" Orlo requested.
I wouldn't have been able to, if not for the fact that I had just been talking to Barb about it.
"There's no way to get from the point in hemspace where we are now to one that includes pink nerve-gas-farting dragons following any plausible action principle, which is really just a technical term for there being a coherent story joining one moment to the next. If you simply throw action principles out the window, you're granting the world the freedom to wander anywhere in hemspace to any outcome without constraint. It becomes pretty meaningless. The mind, even the slime mind, knows that there is an action principle that governs how the world evolves from one moment to the next, that restricts our world's path to points that tell an internally consistent story. so it focuses its worrying on outcomes that are more plausible, such as you leaving.
You're leaving?
Tullia exclaimed, utterly horrified. Others who had joined the dialogue late reacted similarly. Orlo laughed, and I explained how the dialogue had gotten started, and I did it hastily before anyone could run off and start rumors.
I don't think you're wrong, Frau Rasmus, said Jessery, when everyone had settled down. But I think you have a Steelyard problem. Bringing in Hemspace and action principles seems like an unnecessarily heavyweight way of explaining the fact that the mind has an instinctive nose for which outcomes are plausible enough to worry about.
The point is conceded, I said.